You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ha ha! It's Wednesday in the house. I'm in L.A. Molly Woods in L.A. Brother Mad Dog Russo, I don't know where the hell he is. The hair's a bit frazzy today. He still got on a nice blazer tie, but it's the same blazer tie he had on about a week or two ago. We'll talk about that as the show progresses. Aaron Judge has re-signed with the New York Yankees. We got NFL action to get into. We got NBA action to get into. The bottom line is this. First Take is in the house, live from L.A., and I'm with my man Doggy. Holla at your boy!
Team, you know, how can you not?
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Good morning. Welcome into First Take from the West Coast. Hi, Stephen A.
What's up? What's up?
I like this. I like it.
Say it again. I mean, you know, you can't just introduce me. Hear her give me a compliment once a year, okay? And then have the wide camera. You got to zoom in on this brother, Doggy. You got to zoom in. Take notes, my brother. Take notes.
Oh, my goodness.
Take notes.
It's Wednesday, so we got Christopher Mad Dog Russo also on the West Coast. Doggy, how are we feeling this morning?
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Molly. Stevie looks like one of those Good Humor strawberry shortcake ice cream cones that you get every now and then. Where did you get this outfit from?
Come on, man.
Where'd you come from?
There we go. You got your one shot.
Now, you know what time it is. It looks pretty damn good. It really, really does.
I would love to spend more time on your outfit, but we have breaking news this morning.
You don't have to, we can spend time later on my outfit, and at some point we have to have a segment on Doggy's hair today. I don't know what the hell is going on with that hair.
All right, listen, Doggy's on the road. Let him live. Breaking news into First Take this morning out of New York. Aaron Judge has made his decision, agreeing to a 9-year, $360 million contract to remain with the New York Yankees. Sources confirmed to ESPN the 30-year-old had hit free agency after one of the greatest seasons in baseball history, hitting an American League record 62 homers to break the mark set by Roger Maris in 1961 and earning his first MVP award. So Judge's reported $360 million contract ranks as the third largest in MLB history by total value. He's also the third highest paid player in MLB history by average annual value, only behind Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, both at $43 million. And on that note, we are pleased to be joined by MLB insider Buster Olney joining us now. Buster, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Please tell me, how did this all go down?
Yeah, Molly, what happened here is that the Yankees completely surrendered in these negotiations, which is what they had to do to keep this player. As you remember, Aaron Judge turned down $213.5 million in the spring. He decided to bet on himself. And now, in the end, the Yankees, knowing that the San Francisco Giants had interest in Judge, knowing that the San Diego Padres had interest in Judge, they increased that offer from what they offered in the spring by over 70%. And they landed for $360 million. This was Aaron Judge. Not only is he a great home run hitter, a great defender, he's also a great poker player. Yankees wondered all along, what does he really want? In the end, he chose the Yankees at this huge number.
Buster, listen, I thought he was going to sign with the Yankees all along. I did not think Hal Steinbrenner was going to let him walk because he would have blood on his hands. He never would have lived it down. But I was a little concerned, and I talked to Stevie about it a little bit, about that Time magazine story that came out this week regarding the idea that Cashman embarrassed him with the announcement of what those negotiations were in April and the fact that he had his heart set on being a Giant. So I thought those two things could sway it to San Francisco. Your thoughts on that early part of the winter meetings? Let me hear.
Yeah. And I mentioned about Judge being such a great poker player, Chris. You know, last week I spoke with somebody within the Yankee organization. He said Judge going and meeting with the Giants was like watching your girlfriend go out on dates when you're estranged and wondering what is really behind all this. And then the information that came out on Tuesday that the Giants had offered $360 million, that Time Magazine story, some folks involved in these negotiations believe that was all part of how Aaron Judge's camp goosed the Yankees into making this huge offer. And a big question I think all along, Chris, was at some point would this become emotional for Hal Steinbrenner? We know Brian Cashman, the Yankees front office, they're very disciplined in terms of the advice they give, the valuation they put on players. But I think Hal Steinbrenner coming off a disappointing year for the Yankees, Steve Cohen now the owner of the Mets, willing to spend anything, I think there was pressure on him unlike anything he had ever experienced, which is why in the end he gives Judge the kind of money that he was looking for.
Well, first of all, Buster, thank you for being on the show, man. Always good to see you, buddy. Secondly, it's good to see a Steinbrenner acting like a Steinbrenner. So I'm very, very happy about that, okay? Here's the other thing that I wanted to throw out. I'm happy that Aaron Judge signed. Do I think they overpaid him a little bit? Sure, I do. But the bottom line is they had to do it. There's no question about it. I think there's a question mark as to whether or not he's going to be worth that money over the course of 9 years. But we know how this works in baseball. You're really getting it for the next five or six. And if you have to struggle for three of those years, so be it, as long as he gives you what he gives you in the first six or so. My concern with the New York Yankees is this. How does this lend itself towards championship? Because, you see, I'm a New York Yankee fan. I'm not that dude doggy right there on the screen who loves the San Francisco Giants. Aaron Judge wasn't going to no damn Giants. That was a negotiating ploy. Put the pressure on the New York Yankee. I'm trying to go there, okay? He is trying to stay a New York Yankee or be a New York Met. And if you tell me the Padres, I'm willing to listen to that because those brothers could play. And with him in the lineup, yeah, sure. But here's my thing, Buster. The Yankees watched DeGrom go to Texas. They got Verlander in New York now, but not a Yankee. Pitching is what delivers the goods, and the Yankees haven't been in the World Series since 2009. How does this assist in the Yankees' quest to get back to the World Series when we all know pitching is what gets it done in the postseason?
Well, I think in the front office, their feeling was, boy, you know, there were options in the free agent market if they didn't sign Aaron Judge. And they were preparing that plan B, maybe to spin off to Xander Bogaerts. But to not have Aaron Judge in that lineup, I think for the Yankees, it would have been unthinkable. In the second half of the year, he almost single-handedly kept from the greatest collapse in the history of baseball by how well he performed. In the second half of the year, the rest of the Yankees in that lineup, other than Aaron Judge, their statistics were equivalent to those of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I think the Yankees, in terms of trying to win in 2023-24, they needed to get their big guy back. And now they have him back, and their focus moving forward, as you mentioned, is on the pitching. They need to add another starting pitcher. They need to add some bullpen help. But they felt like they had to get Aaron Judge back.
Buster, before we let you roll here, I just wanted to know this. Were there any other teams that were interested besides the Giants in inquiring Judge?
The San Diego Padres have become a big factor in this offseason, Molly. And look, the other day when Trey Turner signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, in doing that, he turned down the biggest offer for any shortstop in the history of baseball, and that came from the San Diego Padres. They quickly pivoted. Aaron Judge met with the Padres. They had a conversation about him possibly going there. So they were very serious about Aaron Judge, and I expect that they're going to pivot now, maybe to Xander Bogaerts, maybe to Carlos Correa, the two best available players still in the free agent market.
Interesting. Buster, thank you so much. Appreciate all of it. I know it's going to be a busy day for you. Thanks for making some
Appreciate
time.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And speaking of San Diego, of course, Doggy is there for the winter meeting. So, Doggy, thanks for still doing the show with us as well. Wednesdays would never be the same without you, Dog. Stephen A., coming back to you, though, how are you feeling about your Yankees signing Judge to that Dodgers?
Listen, you know what? I'm going to speak on behalf of real Yankee fans. We knew that Aaron Judge couldn't leave. We knew that the Yankees had to retain him. And we're very, very happy that he's there. Man smacked 62 home runs last year, batted 311, 23 home runs better than the year before. We get all that. We understand the importance. You know, you break your individual records and then you leave the New York Yankees? No, that doesn't happen. This is the greatest franchise in the history of sports annals. Okay, you don't leave the New York Yankees when you are a record breaker. When you're breaking records is one thing, but when you're doing it for the Yankees, it takes it to another level. Even Doggy has to admit that. Having said all of that, here's my thing, Doggy.
I do. Yep.
I'm not satisfied. I just want to send a message to the New York Yankees. You're just another team. You're competing in a place. You stunk up the month of August, you know, summer, July, and definitely the month of August. We were wondering whether or not Aaron Boone was going to get himself fired, okay, because that's how bad y'all had nosedived. You got your act together enough to be in the postseason and to be respectable enough to be there. We knew you had no shot against Houston. It's one thing to lose. But it's another thing entirely when we walk into the season, and other than emotional individuals like myself who picked the Yankees just because I loved them and I refused to pick against them, anybody that knows baseball knew that the Houston Astros were the better team. They were better managed. They had better talent. They had better pitching. They had a deeper roster. And when you look at it from that perspective, and you're the New York Yankees, enough's enough. I mean, it's really nice to make headlines today, Doggy. It really, really is. That Aaron Judge is a New York Yankee still. Over the next 9 years, 30 years of age, turns 31 in April, will be a New York Yankee for the foreseeable future. Maybe into his 40s, for all we know. We don't know. The bottom line is this. As good of retaining him as it is, as good as it is that you did that, we, as Yankee fans, measure you to a different standard. 27 World Series championships. No one else comes close. And you ain't been to the World Series since 2009. Yep. So you can sit up there and celebrate Aaron Judge staying all you want to. But all it highlights for a person like me is the fact that you needed him for you to be relevant. Because outside of Aaron Judge, you've given us nothing to brag about. Because you haven't lived up to the tradition that is the New York Yankees. You've been going home in October, okay? You ain't the Mets. You go home a bit later than them. But Cohen's coming, and he's willing to spend and do whatever the hell it takes. So I don't want to hear about budgets. I don't want to hear about streamlining stuff. I don't want to hear about watching our wallets. You're Steinbrenners. You're Steinbrenners. And you got Cashman out there still at the helm as your GM. Get it done. I'm sick and tired of watching these pitchers go elsewhere. Aaron Judge is going to have a great regular season, Doggy. But what's he going to do in the postseason? And is it going to be enough for you to get to the World Series? The answer is hell no. So congratulations. Aaron Judge stays. I'm happy for him because he deserves it. But the Yankees as an organization, I'm looking at you. You ain't measuring up, period.
Well, not only that, and I hate to agree with you to start the show. We'll fight about Larry Bird later. I hate to even start here, but I got to be nice to you to get the day going. But, you know, 100%, they can't beat the Astros. 2015, they moan and groan about that stupid sign stealing. They still lost to them after 17. In 19, they lost to them. And they got murdered here this past year. And the Yankees, Ruth, Garrick, Mano, Mattingly, I mean, Jeter, the core four. Torrey, they should not be losing to the Houston Astros four times in the last 7 years. Now, listen, they had to bring back Judge. For what I talked to Buster about, and Buster said it better than I could anyway. If Hal Steinbrenner, who's quiet, who wants to be economical, you know, look at things, you know, sort of as an IBM bean counter, if he lost Judge, he would never be able to set foot at Yankee Stadium again. Because the Yankee fan, you, the perfect example, would never have forgiven him if he got outbid by the San Diego Padres for Aaron Judge. It's as simple as that. And I'm very happy from a Yankee perspective and from baseball, Judge in New York is where he belongs. You're 100% right. Now, listen, they did bring in a reliever. They signed Tommy Canley to $11.5 million for 2 years. He's effective. I know what you're looking for, but what did you want the Yankees to do from a starting pitching standpoint? DeGrom got way overpaid. He's never going to give Texas 5 years. You and I both know that. Not a chance. Texas is desperate. They gave him 5 years. Verlander is 40 years of age. They gave him $43.3 million a year. I'm not sure if I would have done that either if I'm the Yankees, but I understand what you're saying. The bottom line is the Yankees, whatever the excuse is, this is no longer about excuses. Whatever you have to do, whatever that budget is, throw it out the window. We're at the point now where enough already finishing in second place. And nobody cares about regular season baseball in New York and in L.A. You know, the Dodgers can win 111 games. Nobody cares. It's what they do in October. That's all that counts. You think the Dodgers had a great year, or do you think they upset the Dodger fan because they couldn't beat San Diego? They're upset because they couldn't beat San Diego. And a Yankee fan, they had Judge win 62 games. They went over 100. They win the division easy. And all you're screaming about is they can't beat Houston. And you're right. I wish I could say, you know what? I wish I could fight you here. And again, I'm going to be all over you today because I've had enough of you. But this one, we start the show. You're 100% right. The Yankees cannot give me anything about budgets, the analytic nonsense, and Boone's got to win one. You know, Boone's been here a long time. You know, they fired Girardi, and he won a championship. Yeah. Boone hasn't even been to a World Series yet.
That's right.
Boone's got to win one. And I don't know where they go. Maybe they bring Rendon in for a lot of money. A lot of people think the pitcher from the Giants, they get in. But overall, your theme is 100% right. You don't want to hear any more excuses. Win a championship. And you're right, 100%. No argument.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's go now, gentlemen, from Stephen A's baseball team to his football team. And you know what that is. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to bring in Kimberly A. Martin for this. And it's Ben. There she is, my girl. Kim, how we doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
Hi, Kim.
Let's get right into it. The Dallas Cowboys, why do you guys have to say hi like that? I have concerns after Odell Beckham Jr.'s physical that his recovery from a torn left ACL in the Super Bowl has not progressed enough to ensure he would play before mid-January, a source telling Ed Werder. There is a possibility that signing Beckham, who closed out the two-day visit with the Cowboys on Tuesday, would have no benefit until the 2023 season, the source added. Jerry Jones remained non-committal on the signing.
At all. That's the issue. We all realize that issue of health. We've got a good beat on that. If this thing works, it'll improve this team now. If we don't have that, then we're in a positive situation as well. It has to improve us now. And that's a pretty tall order. It has to improve us in a way that makes sense for us as we look not only this year, but as it impacts the years to come relative to the financial aspect of it.
Okay, I just want to say one thing to you. Doggy, when I got on the plane to come out here and I buckled my seatbelt, I thought of you. I'll leave it at that.
American Airlines. Yes, go ahead.
No, it wasn't American, but I just buckled my seat and I thought of Doggy. Right. And I always will moving forward. Kimberly, should Dallas still want to sign OBJ?
I think they should. My only issue with what Jerry is saying is he has to help us now. He has to help us now. First of all, any team that was interested in Odell and still is interested in Odell did and should understand that this is a guy who we have not seen on the field since February. They have to understand that this is his second ACL injury. And when I talk to the league execs, they say there should be concern with Odell because you don't know. You don't know if he's going to be ready to play before the regular season. You don't know exactly when he'll be on the field. So the fact to me that the Cowboys were the only team, it felt like a full court press. Like the Cowboys, between the players talking about him, between Jerry talking about him, now to do it feels like a full stop, pause, let's wait a minute. When Jerry was making everybody think like, okay, we're gonna add a playmaker, we wanna get this done, you know, we have a good chance. And Odell is saying, you know, he's telling reporters, yeah, there's a good chance I might sign here. If you've been paying attention to Odell, you understood that this was a luxury move. Any team that was interested in him was a team that was pretty much set, a Super Bowl contender, but that one piece, that variable, could be the difference late in the playoffs. That's why he makes sense for the Cowboys. He's a luxury piece, but you know, you bring him into your facility to get a look at him, to see how strong his quads are, to see where his head is at, to see what he envisions his role in your offense being, to make sure that your doctors don't have any concerns. But there should have been concerns. All the teams understood that. So I'm a little surprised that Stephen A's buddy Jerry is pumping the brakes just a little bit, because it felt like we were full steam ahead knowing that Odell was this luxury piece that we don't need, but we'd love to have, and it makes sense why it makes sense why they'd want to add him.
I'm going to say a couple of things. Number one, you know, I'm very proud of you, because even though you're still wearing the same color fingernails as you do every week, you haven't changed it up no matter what your outfit is. That's okay. The fact of the matter is that what you articulated was very, very much on point. I must say I'm very, very pleased. I'm also want to take a moment to just go a little left here to say that this lovely lady, Kimberly, has been doing a fabulous job covering the NFL for us this year. I've been watching her do her thing and making me very, very proud. Having said all of that, you are absolutely right, but your breakdown was not complete. See, a couple of things need to be mentioned here. All the things that you said were right on point. Here's the additive. The additive is that, excuse me, Jerry Jones, when you get Odell Beckham Jr., you got to think about the future. You don't even have 1,000-yard receiver yet on your squad, 12 games in. CeeDee Lamb is your leading receiver. He's got, 928 yards? Your second leading receiver on the team has 399 yards, and that's Noah Brown. Come on now. So you need all the help that you can get. And even if you don't get Odell for this season, the fact of the matter is you'd have him locked in for next season, because that's what you should be thinking about, not just this year, but beyond. And Jerry Jones being a bit short-sighted here kind of surprises me. So I think that's important to point out. I also think it's important to point out that regardless of what the public per se may think about Odell Beckham Jr., and they're wrong, by the way, because he is a good guy, doesn't get in any trouble. He might be a headache from time to time, but damn it, that's what aspirin and Advil and Tylenol are for, okay? Figure it out, okay? The fact of the matter is that he doesn't get in any trouble, okay? He goes out on the field, he balls when he's healthy, okay? When he's not healthy, which is quite too often, and I get that part. But he does have a positive impact on a locker room as well. So he's the kind of guy guys want to be around, Doggy. They want to be around him. They like to fraternize with him. They like to socialize with him. They like talking to him. They ain't just go to the Mavs game the other day just because they're recruiting him. They genuinely like him. And I know because I know him and I like him. And I'm telling you, he's a really good guy. And so when you look at it from that perspective, the fact that you could have somebody so electrifying going in the next season healthy with the squad that you already have in place, if you're Jerry Jones, that's how you should be thinking, as opposed to there's got to be somebody right now. Well, who the hell is out there right now that you could pencil in that you know is going to be able to deliver for you? I think it's very short-sighted on the part of Jerry Jones. But having said that, I'm happy because we know I ain't root for them damn Cowboy fans. And as a result of that, if you don't bring Odell Beckham Jr., it doesn't elevate your chances, okay? It leaves you right where you are, which works for me. So keep thinking like that, Jerry. It is not the wisest decision. If I were you, I'd go get Odell Beckham Jr. It is not the wisest decision, but go ahead and do it because I don't mind when the Cowboys are unwise.
You know, why would anybody get Odell Beckham for 2023 when the team in December in 2022 is 9-3? Who cares? I'm not worried about next September. What are you worried about next September for?
I said Jerry
should be. That's ridiculous. They haven't won a playoff game in a million years. Haven't been to a Super Bowl. How about worrying about this year first? Worry about this year. I mean, this team does not need Odell Beckham. They play very good defense. They need to run the ball with the two running backs, and they need to be out there and have a little bit of a rugged personality. They do not need the distraction. And despite what you say about all the players loving Odell Beckham, as soon as he shows up in that camp, there's going to be a million TV trucks, and it becomes a sideshow. And the Cowboys right now do not need that. And if you're going to tell me that Odell Beckham might be ready for a championship game, you know, in Philadelphia, I mean, so we're going to sign him for one game? We're going to throw him into this. We're going to throw him into the Lions' den for a game in Philadelphia when he hasn't played in a year on a team that hasn't gotten him incorporated with the offense? Makes no sense. They don't need Odell Beckham right now. Now, next year, we can discuss this in May. Why are we discussing this now? Because Beckham wants to discuss it now. If he's not ready to play, which it doesn't seem like he's going to be, I wouldn't bring him in anyway if I'm Dallas, because to me, it upsets the chemistry of the team. So I wouldn't go near him.
Chemistry.
But if you're going to now add, if you're good, well, you're wrong. And now you're going to tell me that we're going to go bring him in. Yes, you are. You
know,
why would they need him? They're 9-3. They're a running team. They don't need Odell Beckham right now.
Because you got teams. Because you got teams coming out down the pike that can take you out. And you need to buffer yourself as much as you possibly can, and he helps in that regard. If this man can show up in the playoffs, you take your chances. That's right. Rather than stand pat.
What team? They beat Minnesota 40-3. What team?
Philadelphia and San Francisco, to be specific.
San Francisco's got you and me playing quarterback now.
Purdy looked good. Purdy looked good, Dougie. I mean, Purdy looked good. You can't deny it, Dougie. He looked good.
Can I see more than a game, please?
Yes.
You guys with these good games. Bottom line is, you're 9-3. He's not going to be ready anytime soon. He brings all the TV trucks into your campus, which I don't like at all. And you're a defense and running team. You don't need him for 2022.
Do you notice, Molly?
What about all the issues with the deep passing Dak? That's been a huge problem.
And by the way, Molly, the man said up there, he got a problem with all the TV cameras. He's on TV right now, national television. He got cameras in his house. He's got his own channel. But he got a problem with TV cameras. Ain't this something? I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it, doggie. Am I lying, Cam?
No. Talking about the Dallas Cowboys and TV cameras, the Cowboys of all franchises being bothered by cameras. Are you kidding? The owner is always in front of cameras. I'll leave it at that. Doggie.
If Doggie was in front of the cameras.
That's one of the reasons why they haven't won.
Doggie, settle down.
That's why
you're at the winter meeting. It's a long day for you.
If he can handle it. If Doggie was in front of his camera, if Doggie was with the Cowboys right now, Doggie would have his hair slicked back like Pat Riley.
Well, that's his usual. He didn't have his hair people today. Okay. He's.
All right, let's do it.
That's true.
Kim did. Kim had her hair.
We'll get to the right. Yes, Kim, you look great. Yesterday.
Thinking that's green.
Oh, my gosh. Can I do this? Yesterday, we received more clarity on the Lamar Jackson injury. The former MVP suffered a sprained PCL in Sunday's win against the Broncos following a sack by Denver's Jonathan Cooper at the end of the first quarter. Our Adam Schefter tweeting that PCL injuries often sideline players 1 to 3 weeks. Kmar, how concerned should the Ravens be about Lamar?
Very concerned, only because think about what Lamar means to this offense. It's similar to Josh Allen, and they ask a lot of Lamar. With his arm, with his legs. He's one of the most explosive dynamic playmakers. And here's the thing, with Schefter reported 1 to 3 weeks, that sounds, you think, okay, we can deal with that, right? We can make it 1 to 3 weeks. Here's the question. Will he still be affected by the knee after those 3 weeks when he's playing? Because Lamar he gets hit a lot, but it's not necessarily when he's scrambling, right? It's not necessarily the fact that he scrambles is such a detriment to his style of play and to their offense, but because he uses his legs so much, he can't be at 80%. He can't be at 85%. Like, you need healthy Lamar. But if I'm the Ravens, I'm looking at the remaining games. We play the Bengals, we play the Browns, we play the Steelers. Are you scared of the Cleveland Browns? I was just in Houston. Their quarterback didn't score any offense. Their offense didn't score any touchdowns. Are you thinking the Bengals are a team that we cannot beat at all? Well, the Bengals have lost twice to the Browns. Like, they just can't, for whatever reason, can't seem to beat the Cleveland Browns. So I think the Ravens, where they are in the division, there's still enough time. But this has to be a situation where you don't force Lamar back before he's healthy. You have to trust that everything around you can get it done without him, even though he accounts for so much.
Go ahead, Doggy.
I think Kimberly hit it right on the head. I think the Ravens right now, though, are in big trouble. They can't play Lamar until he's healthy, 100%. I think they're in big trouble. They haven't played well for a period of time. They were barely beat the Broncos even without Lamar. They got beat by Jacksonville. Miami walked in there and beat them. They lost to the Giants. They're in huge trouble. And Cincinnati right now is much closer to the Buffalo-Kansas City level in the AFC than the Ravens are. And the Ravens have those two games with Pittsburgh, all right? Pittsburgh's a pain in the neck right now. Tomlin's got them playing very, very well. The quarterback's done a nice job. That's a big rivalry. And they have to play at Cincinnati the last game of the year. The Ravens are not going to win the division. The Bengals are going to win the division, which means you're going to need Lamar. You know, you're going to be on a road in the postseason right out of the gate. So I don't think they're winning a championship anyway. He's the key to their future as it is. I don't like where they are even with him. So I think you got to lay low, take your lumps, get to the fifth or sixth seed, and maybe you get him healthy and hot at the end of the year in January. But right now the Ravens, to me, even with Lamar, are in huge trouble in both the AFC and the AFC North.
I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned because I'm measuring it against the expectations that I originally had. The expectations I originally had is that the Cincinnati Bengals will come on strong and win this division. And you're the Baltimore Ravens, you go in as a wild card. And that's exactly what I believe is going to happen. Let's put this thing in perspective. Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. We understand what he brings to the table. But if the Baltimore Ravens, who have improved defensively because they were getting shredded early in the season and they shored things up in their secondary and they're a little bit better, obviously got some other stuff going on. Here's the reality of the situation, guys. They got five games left. Two are against the Pittsburgh Steelers. One's against Cleveland. One's against the Atlanta Falcons. And then you got to close out the season at Cincinnati. You can't win three of those next five games. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Now, I understand that Pittsburgh's playing better, and I get that, okay? And I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I like what I'm seeing in terms of the development of Kenny Pickett. It's coming along slowly but surely and what have you. All right, TJ Watt being back is a big, big deal. Fitzpatrick and those boys, I mean, I get all of it. But what I'm saying to you is this. The Steelers ain't the Steelers of old. The Cleveland Browns, I mean, we saw how rusty Deshaun Watson looked. He'll only get better. But the bottom line is, when you look at Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh over the next 4 weeks, you should be able to win two of those games, three of those games, if you're the Baltimore Ravens that we know you to be. It's just that simple. With Huntley. Because I got news for you.
He's good.
That is a quarterback I wish the Pittsburgh Steelers had. Now, I knew they weren't going to get him from the Ravens because the Ravens ain't going to trade within their division and help out their opposition. But the point is, I like Huntley. This brother can play. And I understand that he's a backup. But ladies and gentlemen, watch him play. And don't go by the record. Go by what you see on the football field. He makes plays. He can be a difference maker. Put him around the right people. He can make some things happen. This brother is not a scrub. He can play.
And if you are the Baltimore Ravens, coached by a veteran in John Harbaugh, with veteran pieces around him, you should be able to go 3-2 over your next five games. Or I'll take one better. How much, if Lamar Jackson, how long is we expecting him to be down? Two, three weeks? So you close out the season with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, or with Atlanta, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. You should still win two of those games. You should still end up with a minimum of 10 wins on this season. It shouldn't be that big of a problem to me. It really shouldn't.
All right, we're leaving it there.
That's when Doggy's quiet, he's going like this. The brilliance of Stephen A. cannot be escaped. I mean, that's what that was. That's what that was.
If anybody's
that's what happened.
No one's What's thinking that.
Hold on, hold on.
I don't know if anybody's, but that's a nice narrative you're telling yourself.
All right, Black Widow, I understand.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good news out of the Bay Area. Jimmy Garoppolo's foot injury won't require surgery, clearing the way for a potential return sometime in the playoffs. Should his rehab go smoothly, with Adam Schefter saying the quarterback could have a chance to return in 7 to 8 weeks. In the meantime, the rookie, Brock Purdy, will hold it down. Here's what the Hall of Famer Joe Montana told USA Today when asked about the 49ers Super Bowl chances with Purdy at quarterback. You know what? If he does what he did last week, yeah, Mr. Irrelevant was pretty relevant last weekend. I think they've got a chance. I mean, their defense is playing well. When you've got a good defense, you can make up for a lot of mistakes on offense, and those guys have a tendency to make it up for you. Doggy, are the Niners' Super Bowl hopes over?
Yeah, I think they are. And I love the coach. And maybe Garoppolo comes back, and who doesn't like that defense? You are not. No, Super Bowl. You didn't tell me division. You Super Bowl. And, you know, listen, could they go into Minnesota? Everybody hates the Vikings, so you want to sit there and tell me that they can go into that U.S. Bank and beat Cousins, my main man? All right, and maybe, and even without Garoppolo, maybe. I mean, that's not impossible, but I'm sorry, folks. They are not going into Philadelphia in late January on a frozen day and winning a title with Brock Purdy, a quarterback. I'm sorry, they're not happening. And they're not going to go in there with a Garoppolo who hasn't played in 2 months, rusty as all can be. They're not going in to win that game either. I'm not sure if they were going in that game if Garoppolo was on all cylinders. But he's coming back, if he ever played, on 8 weeks of an injury to his foot. And then, of course, you got Purdy there, who, you know, out of Iowa. No way they're not winning that game. So, and I love the coach. And I love the defense. And I love their winning culture, and I think they're going to win the division, get a home playoff game. And, you know, maybe you guys hate Minnesota so much, they're not any good. This, all I know about Minnesota is they're 10-2. That's all I know. Everybody can't stand them, but they've won 10 of 12 games, which is the craziest thing. When you go 10-2, you got to do something right. And they are 10-2 to beat the Jets. I mean, they're going to go 13-5, 14-4. I mean, that team's much better than people think. But if Stevie wants to go out there and knock Cousins for the 9-millionth time and say, you know what? The Niners can win there. And one thing Stevie cannot do today, and he's going to try to, he cannot. They are not winning a game in Philadelphia in cold weather in late January with Brock Purdy a quarterback. Case closed. That's not happening. Philadelphia is going to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
You know, I do love Mad Dog. You know, Mad Dog, I do love you. But the fact that you would sit up there and disagree with Joe Montana, that you would disagree with a four-time Super Bowl champion, like Joe Montana didn't convince you? He did. You think that all of a sudden Joe Montana doesn't always talk about when it comes to the 49ers, when it comes to winning championships? Here's what I know. When we talk over the years about the 49ers, it's always, oh, well, Jimmy's the quarterback, but they don't ask him to do too much. Jimmy's just kind of there and facilitating. Yes, his stats in games where he starts looks really good, but it looks really good because of the cast of characters. You're talking about how much you love the head coach. You love the head coach. I love the defense. I love the offensive weapons that they have. I think this is an offense with Kyle Shanahan that doesn't put too much on the quarterback. And you can say, you know, against the Bucs, Purdy's not going to catch them off guard like he did the Dolphins because the Bucs have time to prepare. They have tape on him now. But here's the flip side of that. Purdy came in with no, just off the bench, and completely 25 of his passes through 210 yards, I believe. Like, the stage wasn't too big in that moment. Yeah, the Dolphins may not have the same defense as some of the other teams that they may have to face later in the year, but that still was an important game where you're losing Jimmy G to a significant injury, and here's a guy that everyone wants to talk about as Mr. Irrelevant, but as Montana said, he was very relevant on Sunday, and I think this roster, because of everything else that's around him, Kyle Shanahan, I trust Kyle Shanahan to put his QB in the best position. And furthermore, when you talk about Super Bowls, what's the indelible image from last year's Super Bowl? It is Aaron Donald sacking Joe Burrow. That is what I see. I don't think about the offenses. I don't think about any of that. I think about defense stepping up. So when I look at the 49ers, that's where my confidence is, and that's why I think it's very short-sighted to say that it is over for the 49ers.
I appreciate that explanation. Thank you very, very much. I'm here to correct. I'm here to correct both of you on a couple of points.
Ooh.
Number one, Kimberly, I don't think it's far-fetched for Doggy to proclaim they're not beating the Philadelphia Eagles. Because in cold Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia against that defense, as physical as they play, as stout as they are on the defensive line, in their secondary, etc., it's going to be a tall ask for Purdy to go into that environment and get it done. We understand. We have to. The flip side to it, Doggy, is this. Here's the reality. When we talk about the 49ers, Super Bowl hope still alive, just because I'm predicting that Philadelphia would win does not mean that I'm saying, Doggy, that you know something? 49ers are dead. It's not like they can't win. Because let me tell you something. The 49ers' style of play travels. You've got Deebo Samuels. You've got Christian McCaffrey. You've got George Kittle. And with them on the field, you don't have to engage in long ball tactics. You can dip and dunk. You can run screen plays. You got guys coming out of the backfield that can do some things. They play smash mouth football. They're very, very physical. And they have the ability to soften you up on offense. And we ain't even get to their defense, how they can get to the quarterback, how they can sit up there and apply that pressure, how they're stout against the run, the pass, everything else. They're the number one defense in the National Football League in points allowed, in yards allowed, against the pass. And that's going to be something that the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, both are going to have to contend with if they're going to get to the Super Bowl. So we can't summarily dismiss San Francisco. You're right if you're thinking about Purdy. But I can make the legitimate argument, Doggy. A couple of years ago, a few years back, when San Francisco went to the Super Bowl, did Jimmy Garoppolo get them there? Did you see his performances in the playoffs? In a divisional playoff game, in an NFC championship game? He threw for like 130 yards combined in both games. He was a complete non-factor. Kyle Shanahan took the ball out of his hands and said, we can't let you mess it up. So we're going to figure out a way how to work around you. And it got them to the damn Super Bowl. And why couldn't they win it? Because when Kyle Shanahan put the ball in his hands and said, I need you to make a couple of passes here, key passes here, he couldn't hit the target. So the San Francisco 49ers already have some history of getting to the Super Bowl without that quarterback. Okay? And the reality is when I look at Brock Purdy, I saw a dude with moxie, confident, stood in the pocket, took hits, made throws. But I'm saying if you're San Francisco, it's not even required. So, yes, I got Philadelphia coming out of the NFC. But I'm not summarily dismissing the threat, the legitimate bona fide threat that is the San Francisco 49ers. They are real, and we cannot ignore that.
Why does nobody mention Minnesota?
Oh, I can
answer that.
You're right, Doug.
Can I answer that? May I answer that for you? Mad Dog Russo, you got your notes because you're always writing down notes. You know what I'm saying? You're always chronicling stuff like that. You're doing your radio show every day on Mad Dog Sports Radio. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, ladies and gentlemen. Mad Dog Russo, Channel 82, Sirius XM. Here's the deal. In the two games that the Minnesota Vikings lost, you do realize they lost 64 to 10. They got smashed on Monday Night Football by Philadelphia, and they got smashed 43 on their home turf by Dallas. Who are the two teams that you're projecting could potentially be standing in Minnesota's way? The two teams that slaughtered them, 64 to 10. And why am I bringing that up? You know why I'm bringing that up, Doggy? Because if Mad Dog Russo had a different argument, that's exactly what Mad Dog Russo would have mentioned to Stevie A. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that you somehow always forget about. Minnesota did something that nobody in the NFL has done this year. What is that? They went to Orchard Park and beat the Bills.
Oh, please.
And the Bills are one of the top.
Don't give me the fumble. Couldn't snap the damn football. All they needed to do was win the game.
And Minnesota had a fourth-down quarterback sneak prior to that they almost scored. Bottom line is, 27-10 in Buffalo, won the football game. And I'll tell you something right now. I know this drives you crazy, so I'm going to say it. You know who is my dark horse MVP candidate? No, not Justin Jefferson.
He's going to say Kirk Cousins. He's going to say Kirk Cousins. He's going to say Kirk Cousins.
That was Michael.
Has no business in the conversation.
Dark horse.
None.
Yeah, the playmaker had Kirk Cousins, crazy. Too.
He's had a great year. He's had a great year. Let's be fair.
It's more horizontal. It's more like...
Whatever.
All right. back to the Niners. Bucks are at the Niners. They're favored by 3.5. That one's Sunday, 4 o'clock kick.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.